Hi everyone, just want to let you know that in the second half of this episode, we'll be discussing a song that contains some very coarse language and references to potentially triggering themes. If that's not for you, don't worry, I'll give you another warning before we get to it. Otherwise, enjoy the show! Hello, welcome to another episode of All Songs Are Love Songs. Join us in the gallery of Judge Erica's courtroom as I try to convince her and you that all songs ever written qualify as love songs. In each episode, guests will bring songs as evidence to prove me wrong. In this episode, Lee Mason,
Greeny Sweary Christmas Song,
and Sophie Lamont.
And if God is love, they don't like God.
I'll also respond to some of the comments you've made through Facebook and Instagram, but for now, let's get into our first challenge.
All songs, love.
We're ready to go round two.
All right,
Lee's back again for another challenge. Lee, what is the song that you think is not a love song this time?
Rowan, I've dusted myself off and I come back bearing Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, I love this love song.
Excellent choice.
Lee, why do you think this is not a love song?
Now, Rowan, after you viciously whooped me in our last bout, I'm still not quite over it yet. I walked away and I considered that a former love would constitute as being an element of a song. Whether it is a present love or a past love, you taught me that. And I thank you for that lesson. Though just because it's an ingredient does not make it define the final product. Just as you put flour or eggs in a cake, you don't call it a flour and egg cake, do you? No, you refer to the main flavors in there, like the punchy citrus or blueberry filling. It's a citrus and blueberry cake. Therefore, this song may have tones of love within it. But I argue it is not a love song. Oh, hang on. Now I have to pull up the lyrics. In fact, I was steered in this direction by my wonderful mom. I told my mom how I was butt hurt because you beat me so viciously over the Khalees song. She said, why don't you do that screamy, sweary Christmas song? Killing in the Name of was, in fact, a controversial Christmas number one here in the UK. And it was used as a Christmas alternative because it is not joyful. It is not full of love. It is a rage-filled protest song by the American rock band Rage Against the Machine. I believe it is going against the powers that be, the government. F you, I won't do what you tell me. There is not a scrap of love in here. This is rage, as the band is titled, Rage Against the Machine. There is no love in this song, Rowan. Please tell me otherwise. My case is rested.
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, we will continue. Rowan, there's a lot of laughter in my court this morning. I don't think I appreciate it.
Continue. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about my last birthday and how much I enjoyed my flour and egg cake. which I frankly were the main ingredients. There was a hint of citrus and blueberry in there, but I thought, why would I name it after the teeniest, tiniest ingredients? I take your point about the cake, and before I accidentally shoot myself in the foot, I'm going to stop talking about cakes. and we're going to talk about this citrus and blueberry song. Killing in the Name of Rage Against the Machine from 1991 is one of the most passionate love songs I have ever heard, because as you rightly said, Lee, it's a protest song. Protest songs are songs that are filled with passion and full of love for humanity, and that is the core of a protest song. Why are you protesting if you're not trying to defend something that you love, whether that's your freedom or your brothers and sisters or your community? That's why we used in the 2019 and 2020 Chilean protests against police violence, in repressing peaceful protesters, though, using this song as an expression of their love for their fellow people that they don't want to be heard. Lyrically, it's opposing the US police force as being a white supremacist organization, which is very topical, which means that thematically it's anti-racist and therefore is all about accepting different people and tearing down barriers between human connection. It's I would certainly agree it's more along the line of brotherhood and sisterhood and humankind in general kind of love rather than romantic love. But this, from 1991, Killing in the Name Of by Rage Against the Machine, is one of the most direct and passionate love songs I've heard in a long time. I rest my case.
All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs. All songs
are love songs. All songs are love songs. Oh, wow.
I'm convinced.
Considering, Rowan, that you have convinced your opposition of, of this song's love intent, the court must rule in your favor. Once again, Lee, I'm so sorry, but this one's going to Rowan.
Yay!
Don't be. I shed a tear over here, and now I hold Killing in the Name Of up there with the greats, like Love Me Tender and Love Me Do.
Killing in the Name Of. You can play that on your next date.
She loves you, love me do. All you need is love. Can't buy me love. You've got to hide your love away. The world is full of love songs, but sometimes you just have to dig a little deeper. Sandy Nichols suggests 99 Bottles of Beer. It's a great song, repetitive and easy to memorize. It's typically a family road trip song, making it a song that unites groups who are traveling together. Songs of unity for families and groups, strengthening their bonds, creating fond road trip memories, perhaps of annoying your parents. This is a love-building song. Nikki Johnson suggests Ugly Kids Joe's song, I Hate Everything About You. Well, Nikki, nobody spends that much time on somebody they hate. I don't believe it for a moment. The music's jaunty, and since the objects of derision in this song are opposites, like the city and the countryside, the rain and sunny weather, I would argue that this song's tongue-in-cheek, and in fact means the opposite, especially as it's dedicated to an unknown special someone. Clearly a love song. Which brings me to Katie Gamora's suggestion, Forget You by CeeLo Green, sometimes known by an alternate title. Although I think the singer's love is apparent through his bitterness, let me direct you to the line at the end of the bridge, so pained it's almost a wail, I still love you. Because all songs are love songs, even if Judge Erica doesn't always agree.
All songs are love songs.
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 Hi everyone. Before we move on to the second half of this episode, a word of caution. We'll be discussing a song from the Broadway musical Book of Mormon, which contains very coarse language and references to adult themes, including sexual violence. If you'd prefer to give the rest of this episode a miss, I'll give you a quick and more polite recap of the song and Erica's verdict at the beginning of next episode. For everyone sticking with us for now, let's dive into our next challenge.
Back to the courtroom with Judge Erica presiding.
Thank you very much, Rowan. Good afternoon, Rowan. And introducing as the prosecution today, we have our returning challenger, Sophie. Sophie, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay. Obviously, I was quietly confident in my last one, but I did get beat. So I've brought my A game and I'm hoping this one is going to win.
This one's a tough one. I'm excited.
I'm very confident in you. Obviously, we last argument, we were introduced to your background in musical theater, and I have no doubt that you are bringing the upper echelon of arguments to the courtroom today. And today, Sophie, what is the song that we are debating on today?
Okay. Now, before we go any further, I do have to say I do apologize for my language in this kind of podcast, as it is explicit. So
I think this, whatever episode this goes in, we'll just need a general language warning. So fucking go for it.
So I just have to say PSA before. The song that I am going to be fighting for today is a song from the musical Book of Mormon. It was a comedy written by the creators of South Park in 2011, and this song is called Hasadiga Ibowai.
But having a saying makes it all seem better. There isn't enough food to eat. Hasadiga Ibowai. People are starving in the street. Hasadiga Ibowai.
Hasadiga Ibowai.
Oh, I am familiar with the song, and it is a great song. I can't wait to hear your arguments. However, I think today in the courtroom, we shall have the defense argue first. Rowan, please tell us why Hasadiba Igawai is a love song.
I love this love song. Such a beautiful love song. Hasadiga Igawai. So just for the context for anyone that's anyone in the gallery that hasn't seen the Book of Mormon, the whole story is about some Mormons who get sent off to northern Uganda to go and tell people about the Word of God. The whole story, while it satirizes the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, ultimately the entire musical is really about the positive power of love and service of others. Yes, the heroes, Elder Price and Cunningham, are lampooned for their beliefs, but they remain heroes because we, as the audience, understand that they're sincere in their love and devotion to God and to the people of the world. So this song, Northern Uganda, villagers are living in awful conditions while being terrorized by a warlord named General Buttfucking Naked. As a way of cheering themselves up, they repeat the phrase, Hasadiga Igawai, which translates into English as, Sophie?
Fuck you, God.
Yes. But yes, fuck you, God is the theme all the way through it. It gets even more fuck you, God in the... Was it fuck you in the...
I don't want to say it, but it is. Fuck you, God in the arse, mouth and the C word, which I hate saying. So
yes.
That is the chant at the end.
I've never tuned.
That is the chant at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I'm Aussie and you're British, I'm tempted to argue that we could see this as an affectionate jibe. You know, when you see your friends down at the pub and you call them fuckers and C-words, yeah, which Brits and Aussies do all the time. Yeah. So there could be a case for, the more abusive it is, the more affectionate it is. Just a thought. They still believe in God in this song. And people are always told me over the years, God is love and all that stuff. So, yeah, there could be a case there. But I think this is a love song, not in that way, but a love song about community. And I'll explain. In the lyrics, the only way to get through these troubled times, there's war, poverty, famine, but having a saying makes it all seem better. So it's a song that makes people feel good already. It's a song that makes people have positive feelings in the face of adversity. In the lyric, back to the lyrics again, does it mean no worries for the rest of our days? They respond, kind of, because it does kind of mean that. Bad things are happening, but the lyrics are, stand up tall, raise your middle finger to the sky. It's all about regaining dignity in the face of adversity. When they do that as a community to feel better about their circumstances, that is a great act of love for each other. I rest my case.
Thank you, defense. Interesting argument, well heard. Sophie, your argument, please. Please tell us why Hasadiba Igawai is not a love song.
So, as we originally said, Hasadiga Igawai does literally translate to fuck you, God. And like you said, Rowan, God is love, but they are saying fuck you. They hate God for what he has done. They hate him for the people starving in the street, how 80% of the country has AIDS, which I know you could argue that AIDS, they only get AIDS because they've made love with each other, but they haven't, because rape is a huge thing over there. As it says in the song, he couldn't find any virgins to heal his AIDS, so he raped a baby. Now, I am aware that that might be a situation in Africa, which obviously is horrible. So they're talking about how bad their life is over there. And instead of kind of being positive and loving and going, well, actually, it's bad, but let's see the positive outcome, they're literally, like you said, putting their middle finger up to God and saying, fuck you. You're a dick. Fuck you in the ass, mouth and C word. And so that is why there is no love. They are literally saying, fuck you. Even though, and so the context of the song, even though the Mormons, Elder Price and Elder Cunningham, are trying to kind of see the happiness in it, the community spirit, they're angry. And I know anger can be stemmed from love, but actually they're just saying fuck you. And if God is love, they don't like God, so there's no love there. I rest my case.
All songs love songs.
All songs love songs.
All songs love songs.
All songs love songs.
Well argued, Sophie. You really did bring it today. Rowan, now's your chance to make a very brief rebuttal. 30 seconds on the clock.
30 seconds on the clock. Okay, you're saying that they hate God. Yes, that's the emotion they're expressing, but they still believe in God, so they must at least respect God. And what could be, they're uniting in their expression of hate. What could be a more uniting, unifying force? Bringing the community together against a common adversary, who they obviously respect. It's about community coming together.
Ding, ding, ding. That was your 30 seconds of rebuttal. And I am thinking long and hard about both of your arguments. And today, the victor in this case is Sophie.
Yeah!
Sophie
has
no!
to be why it's not a love song.
Woohoo! Oh, that's the best day ever. Oh, yes. So happy. I'm just going to run around singing, evil. No, I won't. I might get a lightning bolt might go and hit me when I'm walking.
Ah, so I knew you'd get me on that one.
That was so brilliant.
Oh, I feel so terrible, like when it's like playing in my car or around the house and I'm like singing it, I'm like schadenfreude is going to happen to me, you know. I'm going to have a misfortune for the rest of my life, swearing and blaspheming to the Lord, you know.
I've been wondering if the show title is too wordy. Perhaps we could use an acronym to save time, like how self-contained underwater breathing apparatus became scuba. Let's see. All songs are love songs would give us the initials ASALS. Let's give that acronym a go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Arseholes. Let's just stick with All Songs and Love Songs. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you would like to hear more from Lee, you can find him on his podcast, Tea with Lee, or on Facebook at Lee, Your Cruise Director. That's at Lee, spelled L-E-E. If you'd like to hear more from Sophie, you'll just have to keep eavesdropping outside her house like a total fucking creep. See you next episode.
All songs, all songs.